Welcome to St. Paul's. My name is Sally Walner and I'm the Community Outreach Coordinator. Normally on Sunday mornings I'm in this area and I'm greeting people before the service, but today I get to greet you in your very own living room. So thanks so much for inviting us into your home. The service you're about to see is a traditional Lutheran service. It's going to consist of some hymns, some responsive readings, some prayers. We're going to read the scripture, and then the pastor's going to deliver a message. So if you decide that traditional worship isn't really for you, we've got a contemporary service as well. So you can tune in on Sunday mornings at 10:15 a.m., and we live stream it on Facebook. So just look for the Bridge Muskego on Facebook, and you can join us with that. And that service is going to be a worship band on a stage. We're going to have videos and, of course, the pastor talks. So hope you check that out, too. I want to thank everybody for the food drive donation last Sunday. We filled the Muskego Food Pantry's shelves with 3 van loads of food. So they were overwhelmed with our generosity, and you also gave just under $2,000 in cash and checks. So we're committed to doing it again, so stay tuned on that. Another thing that we've got going on is our community volunteer response team. So they are just looking for ways to help people out. If you, your neighbor, a parent, or somebody you know needs a shopping run or errands, just give me a call. My information will be on the worship screens later. But for now, come on in, relax, and enjoy this time of rest as we lead you closer to Jesus through the service. God bless.
Well, hello there. I'm Pastor Keel. I'm one of the pastors here at St. Paul's. I see you've met Sally. We like to call her the female face of St. Paul's. A couple of things. If you are wondering how you can give your offering, the easiest way is through online giving and then, of course, the text to give. But if you are a traditionalist like me and would like to use your offering envelope, you can just put that in the mail and send it to St. Paul's. We will get it here. And one neat thing that happened with offerings this last week, so thank you for your offerings, is that we were able to make an investment that hopefully soon we can be live streaming this traditional service as we do now with the Bridge service. And then lastly, if you want to get in touch with any of us pastors, and we'd love to be in contact with you, our phone number for the church is posted on the screen and our extension numbers are there, or you can simply email or call in and general inquiry will get your message to the proper pastor. But I want you to know that the Energizer Bunny was recently arrested. Do you know why that is?
Oh boy.
He was charged with battery. Have a great service.
You should know that people have requested that.
Hi, I'm Pastor Nathan Strobel, also one of the pastors here at St. Paul's, and I'm glad Pastor Keel left some airtime for me. He kind of reined it in from what I thought was coming. So stay tuned, he's up to preach next week, and he will bring some more of himself along with Jesus. Come on into worship. I'm privileged to be your message bringer today. And we are continuing our worship theme for Easter, this Easter season, of if then. If Jesus has risen, then it changes our life. And today the thought of if Jesus has risen, then you and I live in awe of our Father in heaven with his grace and mercy. The Apostle Peter is going to introduce camping to us. And this is not glamping, people. This is camping, tent camping in this temporary world in which we live. My family loves to camp. And when we camp, we are very aware and in awe of our God. The weather app is with us and we love to camp. But if we see God coming with thunderheads, we tend to pick up camp early, go home and snuggle into bed and be dry because we live in awe of our God. And that's kind of where we're going with worship today. If Jesus has risen, then we live in awe of our God, a very temporary life, our eyes focused on heaven and our hearts loving along the way. So God's blessings on worship. Join us as we sing praises to our God and spend time at his feet.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Scriptures teach us that we have been buried with Christ through baptism into his death, and to live a new life of faith through the power of his resurrection.
We have been given divine power to live a holy and a God-pleasing life.
Yet we fail to tap into that power, giving the old sinful nature the opportunity to influence and even control us. Fruits of that nature include sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Our sin brings God's wrath and his condemnation down upon us. Yet in Christ, God's mercies are new every morning. Let us, therefore, humble ourselves before the Lord of all creation and confess our sins to him.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good.
For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have made many powerful and beautiful promises to us.
These promises speak peace and hope to our hearts as we journey through life in a world of sorrow and pain.
Help us believe that you will keep every one of these promises,
so that we live in joyful confidence, seeking to do what we were made to do, to live lives that glorify you.
We pray in Jesus' name. He lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first of our lessons from Holy Scripture today comes from the second chapter of the book of Acts. They're reading selected verses, verses 14 and 36 through 47. Through the words of the Apostle Peter, the Holy Spirit works powerfully in the hearts of many people, bringing them to faith in Jesus and to their baptism in him. Thus the Christian church is born, a church that to this day enjoys the Spirit-wrought blessings of community and fellowship in Christ. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had in need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Our hearts were burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. Alleluia. Today's gospel is recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. On Easter Sunday, two disciples are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're struggling with doubt and fear and confusion. But the risen Jesus appears to them, and he opens up the scriptures to them, and they have to admit, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us? Please open up your Bible and follow along with me as I read from Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our men amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. In our first lesson today, we heard how the Holy Spirit created the Christian church and the community and fellowship in Christ that exists until this day. We enjoy that fellowship, that family, that community. I invite you to join with me in making a public profession of your faith. Today we use the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Illuminate Dear friends, if Jesus has risen, well then, grace and peace to you from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our hearing today is taken from Peter's first epistle, chapter 1. So if you want to grab your Bibles in hand and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. 1 Peter 1, 17 through 25. And follow along as we go. Peter writes, "Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." These are the words of our God. Dear friends in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, true or false, where I am from shapes how I live. Well, I think the answer is true if you look at the two little guys on the screen. Now, some of the shaping is rather harmless. Is it a bubbler or a drinking fountain? Is it soda or pop or soda pop? Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, with a tip of the hat. And I love how grits and greens, yum, can polarize or divide a room. It has a lot to do with where you're from. But some of the things are not so harmless. My experience may have taught me to prejudge you by your skin color, by your accent, by your choice of clothing, or maybe even by your faith walk and confession. Where I am from may predispose me to be mean to one and nicer to the other. Yes, where I am from, well, I come from sinful parents, and so do you. And so part of me wants this life to be all about me. It's true, where I am from shapes how I live. That could make for an uncomfortable conversation, even among us here within the family of God, unless you and I remember what we learned from our big brother. And no, not the one who always insisted on having the top bunk as we were growing up, but the one who lowered himself to serve through Calvary's cross. You know, Jesus came and taught his disciples about prayer. And his disciples came to him, we read in Matthew 5 and then in Matthew 6, looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy be your name, precious be your name, your word." This is God's reputation. This is who God is. This is his name. "Our Father in heaven, holy, precious to us be your word. Your kingdom come, O Father in heaven. Your rule in my heart through faith. That your will may be done here on earth as it is in heaven." Wow. Are we catching that? Where we are from as the people of God shapes how I live. Jesus taught us that. Peter picks up that thought, and we are privileged to take that and to live it, to live in awe of our Father in heaven. Now, Peter writes to us again, "Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Live this life as temporary residents," Peter said, "almost as though we are people who don't belong." You know, that sounds to me a little bit like camping, and some of us, of course, love to camp. But now someone's thinking, "Whoa, whoa, time out, Pastor, time out. Back up just a little bit. Houston, we have a problem." That whole reverent fear thing that Peter talks about, that's me. Where I am from is I am a sinner. And so I can be afraid of God. Can we discuss that whole reverent fear thing? Well, my friends, if that is where our hearts and minds are today, then we're in a good place. Because you see, Jesus is smiling down on us from heaven. Because not only did he teach us about this life-changing truth that our Father is in heaven, he also gave us as a gift that very relationship that we have a Father in heaven. Peter goes on to say, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, bought back from the empty way of life handed down by your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spot. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. My friends, Jesus saw us as he hung on that cross, God's sacrificial lamb. And Jesus was living where he is from. Let me say that again. Jesus was living where he is from. Heaven says this. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, the man on the cross, not counting people's sins against them. Jesus reconciled us, brought us back to our Father in heaven through his payment for sin, his blood. Good Friday was crucial. Easter Sunday is key. You see, if Jesus has risen, then heaven is our home, and that changes how you and I live. Foreigners here in a very temporary life, living in reverent fear. So now again, it sounds to me like Peter is saying that this life is a lot like a camping trip. Now for some of us, danger warning, because some of us love to camp. Whether it's Devil's Lake or Kohler Andre State Park or Yellowstone National Park, the campfire, oh, ribs over the open flames, s'mores, sunsets, sunrise hikes for this guy sleeping in for some of you, even for us, a light rain on the tent roof in the middle of the night. The camping life can so pull at us that there are times we might even forget about home. We like it here. But Peter reminds us that this temporary life is empty in the end. Sin's curse is real. The hopes and dreams of this life, how I want to live, how well I want to live, where I want to retire to, those hopes and dreams will die with us. And maybe sooner than we plan. The dirt will hit the coffin, but our souls will be already checked into the Father's house, lodging paid for by the precious blood of his Son. So, our Father in heaven is determined to keep us focused on home, even while we're camping in this world, lest we lose the gift won for us by his Son. And so our Heavenly Father allows the winds of this life, sometimes literally, to flatten the tent with us still in it. He allows the downpours of life to soak everything through, all the dreams of what could be. The Father creates in us a longing for dry clothes at home, the warm bed, a solid roof over our heads, and maybe even a quick bite at the diner near the campground before we point that soggy car toward home. And God coaches us along the way of this temporary life. Think about how Jesus coached Mary Magdalene as he stood with her outside the empty tomb and taught her how to view this temporary life. She had come to him and grabbed hold of him when she recognized him, and she was clinging to the Jesus that she knew. And in love, he said to her, "Mary, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Do you hear that? Our home is in heaven, Jesus said. And God is our Father. And what is permanent to hang on to is yet to come. You know, my friends, if the pandemic had not happened, next Sunday, next weekend, would be confirmation weekend for our eighth graders. And COVID-19 would not even be a part of our vocabulary. But our Heavenly Father has determined that it is wise for our world that this pandemic should rain on our parade. When we preach for Confirmation Sunday or weekend, whenever that is, I believe that we will be more zeroed in as preachers on what message these young believers, these eighth graders, really need to hear. You know, without the pandemic, maybe, just maybe, I would have been tempted to focus in and lecture them on camping well, making sure they didn't get caught up in the sins of this, the sinful pleasures in this temporary life, take their focus off God, and be caught by surprise with the last day. Now, that message is important, but I can tell you that we will most definitely have the heart of Jesus and zero in on what message matters most. And that is our status before our Father in heaven. We will tell those eighth graders and we will remind all of us that we are redeemed children of God, bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. God is our Father, heaven is our home, and that truth shapes how we live in this very temporary world. Peter's not done. Peter said, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, faith in Jesus, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, seed of this world, not of perishable seed, but of the living and enduring Word of God." The good news of God's Word is that God has given us eternal life in His Son Jesus, and that truly shapes how we love both each other and the people of this world. Our love is genuine and from the heart, Peter said. How is that so? Well, if I have heaven, what more do I truly need? The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." You know, my friends, if heaven is in my future, it makes it easier for me to pray for daily bread, trusting God's plan for me and not making sure that I get my share. Heaven in my future enables me to love my neighbor as myself, not being so concerned about loving Nathan first. You first. That's who I want to be. Heaven in my future inspires me to love one another as Jesus has loved me. I want to be the guy who says, "How can I serve you today? You know, I can hold the door for you. I can turn the other cheek for you. I can come to you in love and talk to you about your sin against me. I can in love come to you and confess my sin to you and seek your forgiveness. I can give offerings to God, and I can give gifts of money to people who are more in need than I am." You see, heaven is my future. Heaven is your future. And so for us, you first is how we live. It's how we love. Peter says more, gives us another picture. He says, "All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you." Where I am from shapes how I love. And Peter encourages us to love, let's say, mindfully, aware that only what is of God lasts, and that genuine love is a thinking thing. You know, don't you, that there are no ATMs in heaven. Money doesn't survive the end of this world. So God, how do I use money to your glory? My trophies will melt in the fires of the last day. So how do I achieve victories that impact eternal life? And you know that no one will truly remember me after I depart this life. But if I share the name and the love of Jesus with others, some will remember him and believe in him and join us in heaven. Lord, make my love a thinking thing. May it shape how I live and how I love, since heaven is my home. How well are you and I loving during this pandemic? Is our love genuine and deep? You first, because only the things of God last? Is that how we're loving? Personal questions for all of us. But what about St. Paul? Are we as a congregation an amazing example of the Spirit's words that it is the word of the Lord that endures forever? You know, not to be too morbid, but to drive through St. Paul's in the middle of this pandemic, especially on all of these cloudy, rainy days we've been having, is to not see life, but in a sense, to see death. Where is the life and vibrancy? Where are the children? The Fitzsimmons kids are out once in a while, but most of the time, where are the children? Where are the cars? Where are the reading buddies? Where are the parents? Where are Pastor Keel's jokes? We got one today, thanks be to God. Where is the laughter? It's April. But we have a sanctuary that is a hollow, empty shell. We have two large gymnasiums that stand empty. The Trinity Cafe, normally brilliant with light at night, remains unlit. And we have classrooms and hallways where you can hear a pin drop. The world as it drives by might say, and we might even be tempted to think as we're driving through, it's sad what has become of St. Paul. Until we remember what God's church is all about. The glory of people wither. The visual of people fail. But the word of the Lord and its impact on our living and our loving is what endure. By God's grace, St. Paul's is preaching Jesus and salvation every day. By God's grace, St. Paul's is sharing the love of Jesus each and every day. And last weekend, we were privileged to be a part of what Sally talked about as she welcomed you to worship today. We were part of more than replenishing the empty shelves of the Muskego Food Pantry and gave them a check for $1,976. Now, my friend, who sees that love today? God does, and he loves it. Who sees that love today? Well, the people who visit the food pantry with need. And they may not know what love has filled those shelves, but they know that someone has loved them. In this pandemic, we at St. Paul's, we are God's people being God's people. By God's grace and his word, we are still St. Paul. True or false, where we are from shapes how we live, shapes how we love. True. And Peter would say to us, and that is the word that was preached to you. To God be the glory by how we live and by how we love. In Jesus' name we study. In Jesus' name we ask his blessing. And now, dear friends, may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord God, you give us each day to live in your service and for the good of mankind.
We are indeed poor tools of your grace and mercy, and deserve to be cast aside.
Forgive us our sins for Jesus' sake, and by your Spirit, grant us the fitness to work for you.
Make us mindful that we are but strangers and pilgrims in this world.
Let us not devote our efforts to purposes unworthy of you.
Let us not gather treasures merely for this world.
But, Lord, fasten our hearts and hopes on the life that is in you.
That our living and loving may be shaped by the treasures of your love and by your promise of an eternal home for all who believe.
As long as we live in the land of our pilgrimage, hold our hands, guide our steps, and bring us safely to your side, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus, you came to us today and poured out the riches of your love and grace in your word.
In you we truly have all that we need and more.
Empower us as your forgiven children to live to your glory.
May the light of your love shine in us and through us.
We bless you now and forevermore.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.